in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And great to have you with us on the show today. I am joined by a man who for 25 years has had the thrill of carrying another person to the finish line. That is my broadcast partner, Jack Hamm. Partner, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Steve. I think it might be the other way around, but it's a fun time to be broadcasting Penn State football.
It is. So, Jack, is there a certain consistency to this team that you've noticed as each game has gone by?
Well, I think the big thing that I noticed midway in the season, when you go on the road, you play a tough Southern Cal team and you get behind. You go on the road, a tough Minnesota team, and you get behind to them as well. There was no panic in this football team. You're down by 10 against Minnesota. You just continue to work at it. You know the plays will come both on offense and defense, and you ended up pulling out tough football games on the road. That's the consistent thing that has happened all year with this football team. And I think they just gained confidence in every game. So, and you saw the end product here against Maryland on Saturday.
When you look at Drew Aller and the progression that he has made at quarterback, Jack, it's now to the point where he's about to make the 26th start of his career. What kind of difference does that make in the guy that we're seeing now compared to the guy we saw maybe in his 10th or 11th start?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people have, I think, taken him for granted. I mean, he's at a 71% completion clip right now, and that's everybody thinks it's a ho-hum year he's having. He has been very consistent. I just love the fact that he was able to make plays in the fourth quarter to bring our team back. And it's not, you know, looking downfield and running with the football, but looking downfield, finding the open receiver. The fourth down play at Minnesota that sealed the game is a good example. I mean, initial read is not there to Singleton out in the flat. He thought maybe he could run with it, which he's been able to do a lot this year. But then he sees out of the corner of his eye, and I'm sure he's got great peripheral vision. He was able to come back and find Warren back on the backside and get him the football. Those kind of plays where he's looking to make a big play downfield rather than run with it. And then when he does run with the football, it's a key situation and keeps drives alive.
Jack, we are the only broadcast in the country where we have to identify the quarterback on every play. and that means, of course, every once in a while it's Tyler Warren. The versatility of Warren, I mean, we knew he was capable of it, Jack, but to see it play out in real time, what's it been like for you to watch this guy play so many different spots and make a difference in all those spots?
Well, Steve, I've been around football a long time, both playing and obviously broadcasting as well. And to see the things that he can do on the football field are just amazing. And that, I talked to James about the fact of, you know, teams that are going into a game and trying to take away Tyler from our offense. But it's very, very difficult because we're lining him up in so many different places. We're shifting him out. We're motioning him out. He's staying in the backfield, so many different things. It's very hard to try to get a double team on him, and we're just been able to work himself free so many different times against that zone defense. He's too strong for a defensive back. He out-physicals that, and then for a linebacker, he's quicker than the linebacker. So he's a bad mismatch for a lot of defenses, and even when they're trying to target him, it's so difficult. But the one thing I just loved about last week, he put a flare pass out to Singleton, and as an ex-quarterback from high school, put the ball out in front with great timing, just enough for Singleton to get the ball, keep his momentum going forward, and just barely get a first down downfield. All those little things that he has done, the short yardage, all of that, I have not seen a football player make this kind of an impact on a team as much as Tyler.
And you watch him play. You weren't there yesterday, but you'll be there, obviously, tomorrow and Friday. But you watched him make a play yesterday, I did, and it was so a ball that's no way you should catch. He made it look effortless, and it seems like he makes all of this look effortless.
Well, you know, Steve, he's got really good body control at 6'6", 6'6", 6'6", and the out pattern he ran, he just got positioned on the defensive back last week, and it's an 8 or 9 yard out pattern. The ball is right there, and plus, I'll tell you what, the timing right now between Aller and Tyler has just been outstanding. On a couple times, he'll line up in the slot and run the out pattern. The ball, he turns out of the break, and the ball is right there. Those kind of timing, you know, you can't defend those kind of plays. I don't care what kind of defensive back you have back there. That's just too good a timing they have right now. And I think they just got a feel for each other right now, which makes that offense so much better.
How important is it going to be moving forward? Last week, it was, I think, Amari Evans to a point. If they could get both Evans and Wallace into the mix to go with Warren, what kind of difference can that make for Penn State?
Well, you're talking about at each level in the passing game. I mean, if you get the Amari Evans, because he can run that post pattern, he's probably one of the fastest guys on the team, and he caught a touchdown pass a couple weeks ago and also just missed one as well. But to stretch the defense there, and then with our tight end, we just talked about Warren, but also you have Singleton at that third level, which is out in the flat, and then you get him to put ball in open field. That triple level, as we've seen over the course of many different years here at Penn State, is tough to handle when you get the protection to get rid of the football, and one of those three are going to be open. And if you have to drop it down to Singleton, that's a mismatch.
Catron Allen, of course, has done Catron Allen things this year. But Singleton has that burst, and he's back to really just about 100%, Jack. What kind of difference has that made for Penn State the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think it's made a big difference all year in the passing game, because I think they came into preseason camp with the idea of getting Allen and Singleton involved in the passing game, and they have done that this year. I mean, out of the backfield or the one-on-one routes with Singleton or the wheel route, and getting the football to their backs out of the backfield, especially down on the goal line. Like I said, on that fourth down play, mm-hmm. they were trying to get the ball to Singleton,
right.
And Minnesota did a great job of covering him up. And that's why Aller had to go to the backside. But those two guys have made a huge impact on this passing game. And I think it's a big reason why Drew Aller right now has a 71% completion average.
To show you how much I have matured in watching the game, I want to talk about now the smartest position on the field, and that's linebacker. I mean, have I come a long way or what? I mean, I've come a long way, haven't I? So, Kobe King, I think early on, you know, always has been great against the run, but now you see him in the pass. What does it mean to have an every down linebacker that you're not giving away packages because of personnel on the field?
Well, I think it goes back to preseason camp, Steve. And when we're working on from the 10 or 15 yard line in, which normally is with the corner on the wide receiver or the safety on a tight end. But we also had those guys one on one, against our linebackers. And our linebackers, Tony Rojas does a great job in the passing game, but Kobe King just made himself better each and every year. He's much more mature in that mic position. He finds the football, but down on the goal line, when it's one-on-one coverage, he is not a liability, but he's more of an asset out there because he's done a great job. Right. And they worked at it. These guys have worked at the passing game, because if you just play the run, you play the run tough, but you're out there in the passing situation, which is a big part of 2024 college football, you don't want to be a liability in that passing game, and they are not. Kobe King and Tony Rojas do a great job. Dominic DeLuca, I've been touting him so long. Our linebacking crew this year has just been outstanding all year long, but they, especially when they go into the passing situation, they make some big plays, and Tony Rojas has come up with a couple of interceptions.
What is it about DeLuca, Jack? When you watch him play the game, what allows him to get maybe an extra step, step and a half, that puts him in the right position?
Well, first of all, his vision. What he sees out there, he reacts to very quickly. He did that on the drop for the interception against Minnesota. He gets underneath. He feels the route run behind it. He understands the passing game, what offenses are trying to do in the passing game. When you play a zone defense like he was on that play, He's got to make sure that ball is it does not come out on a line, but over top of his head, where now the safeties have a chance to make a play on the football. He understands that part of the passing game, made a great drop about 12 to 15 yards, got underneath the route. But the biggest play, I mean, as an old linebacker, watching him cover a wide receiver,
yeah,
because you're in the red zone area. He understands that there's not a lot of real estate. He understands to get underneath that route and make the ball go over his head, which it did for an incomplete pass, and he had to settle for a field goal. Those are the things. When he sees something out of the field, he anticipates that. He doesn't guess, but he anticipates, and he's there to make the play. He's not the most gifted guy out there, but he may be one of the smartest on defense. He's kind of like Tyler Warren of the defensive side of the ball, where he is just a smart football player and makes those kind of plays all the time.
That play on Spencer, the wide receiver for Minnesota, was an unbelievably outstanding play. Linebacker on wide out, and he cut off the pathway. Brosmer had no choice but to throw it away.
Exactly. He understands where you are. You have to stand down in Disney. You understand you're in that red zone area. You got to be aggressive underneath. If he does not do that, and if he gets too high on the play, now the quarterback can drill the football, and you end up missing on that play. So Luka understood that, stayed a little bit shallow to make sure he's underneath the receiver and make the ball go over your head. There's no way that ball gets in there for a touchdown, because the back of the end zone has to go over to Luka, and he just caused an incredible incomplete pass on a third down play where they're trying to get in for the touchdown. He forced the field goal.
Up front, Abdul Carter makes the move from linebacker to defensive end. He still plays some linebacker from time to time based on third down packages. He ends up being the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Deny Dennis Sutton. Inexplicably, Zane Duran is honorable mention and not one of the first three teams, but that's just my opinion on something like that. What can that front, I know they mean a lot in every game, but what can it mean in this game against a Dylan Gabriel?
Well, first of all, this front has just gotten better and better each week. And Zane Durant has just played phenomenal football from that inside tackle position all year long. But we're going to have to get pressure on the quarterback, because Gabriel's a guy. I mean, he makes everything go for this football team. I mean, they've got an outstanding running game. They got balance in their offense. They can throw the football downfield. They average, I think, 448 yards per game. But it's going to start up front. And when I talk to these guys tomorrow and Friday, that defensive line will feel that the responsibility is on them against the running game, but also putting the pressure on the quarterback and making sure you stay in your lane. For the quarterback, Gabriel will, in fact, run with the football. It made some key third down runs, keep drives alive for his offense to stay on the field. And that's another, I think maybe the biggest key on their third down conversions, they're right around 49%. That is so high offense, and we're going to have to make sure our defensive line especially gets them off the field.
Yeah, that's the other part. People don't realize, I mean, Penn State on the other side is 47%. So you got two teams that have the ability to keep their offenses on the field. Which one buckles in that situation, we'll find out. Jalen Reed and Zaki Wheatley, the two safeties. Obviously, there's no Winston. But how impressed have you been by those two back there?
Well, I think we expected Jalen Reed. I think coming into this year, in the preseason camp, when you and I talked, we knew Jalen Reed was going to be a big factor. Obviously, a change with KJ being injured and out for the entire season. And he has been what as advertised. He's made big plays, made a big play in the Wisconsin game. He can also bait the quarterback into throwing the football downfield and then driving on interception. He thrives, and he loves the fact that he can pick off the interception downfield. And a guy like Wheatley, who is just a solid open-field tackler, he's almost like a half linebacker out there. He's very physical with 200 pounds. He's made a lot of good open-field tackles where you're not going for technique on your tackle. You're trying just to get people on the ground so there's no yards after the catch. And Wheatley has done that all year, punched the football out on the goal line against Ohio State to cause that turnover. Those guys have been outstanding, and it's going to be a challenge for them as well. Like I said, not only the running game for Oregon, but they've got outstanding wide receivers. Stewart might be the best one, and Johnson is out back and healthy. So our secondary is going to be challenged in this game as well. But I mean, probably the biggest challenges football team has had all year long.
As I said to somebody, I said, you get to this time of the year, everybody plays really good.
you're playing against the number one team in the country. They don't have many weaknesses.
I mean, when you've looked at them, Jack, what do you like about them?
Well, I like the balance, and I think they're patient with their running game. You know, you average 179 yards rushing or 170 yards rushing a game. Boy, I tell you, it makes the life for your quarterback a whole lot easier back there. You got to honor play action, and then times he gets out of the pocket, and he'll run at times. And it just seems like the time you think you're going to get off the field with him, he ends up getting out of the pocket, scrambling, throwing a football, or running with the football to keep those drives alive. Which gives them another possession and the opportunities with all their skilled people. But you know, I really believe it does start with that, with James, their running back, and you know, if they're able to run the football effectively all day long against the Penn State defense, we're going to have problems because I think it all feeds off of that. And if we can stop the running game and get them into passing situation where they have to throw the football, that would be advantage Penn State.
Jack, it's been an incredible run to this point, and there's still more to be played. Looking forward to Saturday night.
I am too, Steve. I think back to playing Oregon right now. I think this team is looking forward to it, and I can't wait for Saturday to get here.
Jack Hamm, my broadcast partner, 25 seasons and growing. Okay. Oh, man. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. The best in insurance coverage, and they do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. The latest in the long list of guests we have that carry me on an almost nightly and daily basis, Dick Girardi joins us. DJ, welcome.
Steve, how are you, pal?
I'm doing all right. You?
I am fine, thank you. I'm just looking at my Purdue numbers, getting ready for tomorrow night and see what we got here.
So you made a point at the Hoops Club the other day, which I thought was, I think, the point. How important is it going to be for Penn State to understand that they're playing the man and not the jersey?
It's going to be everything because man-to-man, they are as good as Purdue. I think that's going to show up. I haven't seen it, but I think it's going to show up in the point spread tomorrow night, Steve. I expect this game to be around a pick'em, and people are going to say, well, wait a second, this is Purdue. You know, they're ranked, and they're good, right? But so is Penn State, but they don't have the name in basketball that Purdue has, and Purdue has earned it recently. But this year, Penn State has the correct personnel to win the game, and I can't see a reason why the players wouldn't believe they can't win the game. So they just got to go out and do it.
Well, the way they practiced yesterday, I think they heeded your advice. Mike will tell you that was a really good practice yesterday.
Good.
As for when you look at Purdue, the backcourt, which 2 years ago happened to be freshmen, Smith and Lawyer, are now juniors. What difference do you see in them right now?
Yeah, stronger. savvier. You got a lot of run. Look, played the national championship game last year. This year they've already played Alabama at Marquette, Ole Miss. So obviously the two Big Ten seasons they played in. They played in a lot of big games. And they have some real strength, Steve. Like Smith is a sensational passer, 73 assists, 20 turnovers. And Lawyer is obviously a phenomenal three-point shooter. 17 of 29, 59%, which is crazy. Both great free throw shooters. And interestingly enough, they've taken 57 free throws between them in eight games, which is a pretty big number for guards.
Yeah.
At this stage, and Smith shoots 92%, Lawyer 82%, so you don't want to be fouling these guys. So they have a lot of offensive skill. What they don't have, they're not super athletes. They're not tremendous defenders, and they are each vulnerable, Lawyer especially, to pressure on the ball. Lawyer is much more of a standstill shooter. You can make him into a driver, get him inside the line. He's not as effective. And I don't think either is effective against major pressure, which is what happened to him against Marquette, which is the only game they've lost this year. And they lost pretty decisively in that game. It was 18. It would have been 30 if it had gone on much longer. So they have some really good things about them. They have some things that are vulnerabilities. It'll be up to Penn State to make sure they don't do what they do really well and to exploit some of the things maybe they don't do as well.
Dick, let's get into that Marquette game. Both teams are 7-1. You mentioned the one loss is to Marquette. Stylistically, it's Shaka Smart. They play a lot the same way Penn State does. Is that a fair assessment?
100%. Marquette doesn't have, say, they don't have somebody like Yana at 7 foot, but I would say, Steve, and I think Penn State's team speed is right up there with anybody's. Marquette might even be faster. They have more switchable guys on the court. It seems like everybody on the team's like 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". So they might even have more of them. But having said that, look, Mike Rhodes and Shaka coached together at VCU. Their styles are very similar. And to me, I think the couple of things about the Clemson game, which Penn State lost, and of course that loss looks a lot better now that Clemson beat Kentucky last night.
Right.
I didn't think they ran their press enough, Steve. I really didn't. Now, I get it that it was a back-to-back. That could have been part of it. But I want to see them press as much as they possibly can tomorrow. I think if this is a half-court, you know, let's run the clock down, that's Purdue's game. And they're really good at it. They run great half-court stuff. This game has got to get up and down. It's got to get a little wild, a little out of control. That's what Matt Painter and his coaches are not going to want, and it's what Mike Rhodes and his coaches are going to want.
Yeah, that's what people don't realize. Purdue is right around, 65, 66 possessions a game? You know, Penn State's going to get this thing.
They're down to the bottom 5% of the country in pace.
Yeah, so in that pace, and Penn State wants to be anywhere from 73 to 77. If Penn State gets this thing into the 70s, I think it changes the dynamics of the game and Purdue's chances.
Yeah, there's no question. Look, I give Purdue a lot of credit because Ole Miss got them a little wild the other day in San Diego, and they withstood it and ended up putting up 80. And they had to play great to win, and they did. And Ole Miss is pretty good. That was impressive to me. Alabama, look, Alabama's a good team, but Purdue at Mackey is a completely different team than they are anywhere else. They're unbelievable on their home court. But the Ole Miss game did impress me. I think the good news is, Steve, it probably impressed them too. So they're going to, and there's a chance. Look, the last time they saw Penn State, you and I were at Mackey Arena. I don't remember what the final score was, but it wasn't close.
No.
And they, at one point, they ran off like 100 points in a row. So I think Penn State's kind of waiting for this chance. A lot of the Penn State players obviously were on that team. Five of them were major players on that team that got blown out last year. And it's the opener of the Big Ten, which is as wide open as I've ever seen it. You could make a case for eight teams to say, hey, they could win it or they could win it. And Penn State is one of those teams, so you got to believe it. Go ahead, get it done, get yourself the 1-0, and get the Rutgers on Tuesday.
Kaufman ran inside. He's not Zach Edey, but he does bring plenty to the table as the leading scorer and rebounder in this team. What do you like about him?
Just smart, and they know where to get them. Well, Purdue's one of the great post-feeding teams ever because, you know, typically Matt Painter has a seven-footer, or in Zach E's case, a 7'4" guy. But he's had him as long as we've been doing this, Steve. And Kaufman Wren is obviously not that big, but he's just got great footwork. And he was always a guy, you saw him in bits and spurts.
Yeah,
they kept saying, "Hey, look, he's pretty good. You just didn't know it." Well, he's proven it. He's shooting 60%. He takes high percentage shots. Not a particularly good free throw shooter at 61. But what he's not, Steve, he's not a rim protector. In fact, they have zero rim protection on this team at all. How about this stat? Purdue has 18 blocks on the year. Yannick has 50 by himself. So you can get to the rim against this team. Now, they're going to guard the lane. But if you get there, you could definitely finish. You don't have to be that concerned. They don't steal the ball. They're just not. That's not what they do. That's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to play smart, control the half-court defense. And frankly, we saw it at Penn State for 2 years with Coach Shrews. It's the same deal. But offensively, they're elite, 50% from the field, 42 from three.
Yeah.
And here's the stat that Penn State has to find a way to win this stat tomorrow night. 143 free throws made. Opponents, 115 free throws attempted. And that's without Zach Edey. That's pretty impressive. And you can't get killed from the foul line tomorrow night. That's just not going to work.
Well, here's the other one. Under Matt Painter, and this is 20th season, Purdue is 345 and 51. 345 and 51 when they have more free throw attempts than the opponent.
Yep. Which they do most of the time, and they win, as you said, almost all the time when that happens. And it's a style of play. They play smart without fouling. Look, again, they're not trying to create turnovers.
Right.
They've only created 80 in 8 games. You can do the math. That's 10 a game. Now, they've only committed 11 per game. But, again, a lot of that was against the A&M Corpus Christi and Northern Kentucky and those kind of squads. Marquette turned them over, and they got them nuts. And that's Penn State's role. And in recent years, Purdue has been vulnerable to full-court pressure, trapping pressure at different times. I remember Iowa, Steve, is the only other team in the Big Ten that ever presses. And they don't really have the personnel Penn State has. They were able to turn Purdue over a couple of seasons ago. So it is doable.
Yeah, no question it's doable. And what can a guy like Nick Kern off the bench mean to the chaos you're talking about?
That probably should be his middle name, Steve. We should probably just change to Nick C. Kern for chaos. That's what he's out there for. And he also happens to be shooting 67% from the field and 82% from the foul line. But that's not his, as good as that is, and that's fine. He's mostly out there to just create havoc on defense. And to have somebody like that coming off the bench with 4 years in his fourth year of college, all with Mike Rhodes and the staff at VCU is huge. And Purdue, you know, their starting five is solid. And we didn't mention Cam Hardy yet, but he's a tremendous three-point shooter. You just don't want to give him a standstill shooter, 55%. And Miles Coleman just had the game of his life. He won the game winner against Ole Miss when everybody blocked him out. But their bench is pretty average. Harris is a high recruit, Jakari Harris, but he can't make a shot. He's 3-for-20 on threes to start the season. And Caleb First, it was a guy who was really highly recruited. He just really hasn't panned out. So Penn State has a big advantage on the bench depth-wise that they can bring players like DeMarco Dunn, proven scorer, Nick Kern, Conscienze, those kind of guys off the bench. And we'll see how much Mike wants to use the freshman tomorrow night. That's a vulnerability for Purdue. But to make it vulnerable, you've got to get into a higher possession game, because if it's in the mid-60s, you don't really need your bench.
You and I had a chance to talk to Yannick on Monday. And he did get a technical foul the other day, and I said, what language did you say? Because he speaks four, and he said German. Now, I want to give the officials a lot of credit. The fact that they know German, very impressive.
My guess is, Steve, it was probably how he said it, not what he said.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think tone meant something.
Right. It was a weird play. I've since watched it. So, right, Yannick had one of his seven dunks. It was at the basket in front of the Buffalo bench.
Right.
And his momentum carried him into the Buffalo player, and it's kind of looked like he pushed him. I'm not 100% sure that's what happened. And then he said something and resulted in a T. And like, Yeah, stuff happens.
It was a German. For all we know, he was complimenting him. All right.
Probably not. Just by judging by the facial expression, I think it was probably not.
Well, I agree with you. I couldn't tell. So, but we've now watched, you and I have watched a lot of big men, different types, different styles. What is it about him that's so intriguing?
How many different ways he can play, Steve? The fact that he can play out on the court, really good passer, which we haven't seen a lot yet during the season. Obviously, he can finish around the basket. He has great hands, and he's a great off-ball shot blocker. So, I mean, very versatile for a 7-foot-1 guy. And he never really has had a chance to play before, right? I mean, played big minutes. I would love to know what was going on in Northern Illinois, but I guess it doesn't matter at this point. But, yeah, he's certainly the most versatile big man at Penn State since I've been doing it. And you can tell me the same thing. No. I suspect the same thing in your
same,
4 days.
Same thing. Same thing, Dick. Same thing. Post time, 6 o'clock. Tip off, 6:30 tomorrow. DJ?
Can't wait. Yeah, I circled this one a long time ago, Steve, to get a sense of what's happening here. And we're going to know a lot more come about 8:30 tomorrow night.
I mean, look, you and I both feel that this has all the ingredients. If things fall right to be an NCAA tournament team, this would be a step in the right direction.
I'd be shocked if they don't make it, but if you want to get there, they've had one game to show what they could do, did not play well enough against Clemson. Now they got another one. Again, they're going to have 19 more after this.
Yeah.
So time to get it done.
DJ, you're the best. Appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow.
You got it. All right, Steve. Stay pal.
Dick Girardi joining us as we go from one end of the state to the other. We went from Western PA with Jack Ham to Eastern PA with Dick Girardi. And Dick will join me for the broadcast tomorrow night, 6:30 tip-off, 6 o'clock airtime. Jack will join me Saturday night, 8 o'clock the kickoff. Actually, it's going to be 8:15, but 6:30 will be the airtime on Saturday night. We will come back with more in a moment, including a look at the latest college football playoff rankings, the latest snapshot, because the latest snapshot revealed something that's not going to change, in my opinion, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
to have you with us on the show today. We talk about the movement in the poll as to what it could look like on Sunday. Something that, look, let's face it, it's not going to move. It's Alabama in front of Miami. How can that possibly, Todd, move? That can't move. In other words, they've already decided Alabama's in front of Miami. Neither team is playing this weekend. They can't move.
Yeah, that was a little bit surprising, but yeah, I don't know how that changes unless, you know, they're Miami's politicking works, I guess.
Look, has Alabama played a better schedule? Yes. Miami has been bailed out in three other games by calls that I found to be questionable. All right. Virginia Tech, Louisville, Cal. They don't get those calls, which, without question, two of the three, Cal and Virginia Tech. Now, again, do I think they got the Virginia Tech call correct in the end? Yes. But the play was called a touchdown in the field, and I was watching live that night. This angle, that angle, up, down, sideways. What? I can't see how they changed it. Because I can't really see the ball. And they still did it. Now, do I think they were right in all likelihood? Probably. But that doesn't matter. Your job is not probably. And the one against Cal, the play where they launch, and it's no question, it is the definition of targeting. And they didn't call it. Like, what are you doing? I mean, so Miami's, they got more problems than people realize. But that's a part of the poll they can't change. So, I mean, so it's going to turn out that should that stay the same, which I think it will, I'll be wrong that a three-loss team will get in. I mean, a three-loss team's going to make it. And I had said vehemently for weeks and weeks and weeks, you lose the third time, you're done. Evidently not.
I can't believe that it's not like Oklahoma beat them by a point or something. Oklahoma boat raced them. I mean, what has changed for Alabama? They beat Auburn, a 5-7 Auburn team, lost to Oklahoma, and beat Mercer in their last three games. I think Alabama's better? Probably. Do I think? But it doesn't. This doesn't jibe currently.
Yeah, I mean, the loss to Vanderbilt is a loss to a good team, but not a great team. The loss to Oklahoma, which was reeling going into the game, made no sense, and you're right. I mean, I'm sitting in Minneapolis watching the game. I'm sitting there thinking, I can't believe what I'm watching here. I mean, seriously, not that Oklahoma can't beat them, especially at home, but as you said, they boat raced them. It wasn't even close, Todd. It wasn't even close. It was, in a lot of ways, it was not competitive. And is that win over Georgia carrying that much weight?
It must be, because Georgia's back up to 5.
Well, and Georgia's 1 2-point conversion away from not being in it. That's, I don't know.
I just wonder if they're overrating the SEC again.
I don't know. But you know what? They have a tendency to overlook certain things over the years. Remember the year Ohio State won the national title? And they came into the weekend ranked 6th, I think. Absolutely destroyed Wisconsin, 58-0 in the Big Ten championship game. And they ended up being 4th. Okay. And they beat Alabama in the semifinals, then they won the national title. I think they beat Oregon, I think. But you know what people forget about that season? The double overtime game against Penn State. The double overtime game against Penn State, which even in that year got skipped over. I mean, it got skipped over over and over and over. Penn State had 63 scholarship players. 63. It was 2014. They're right in the throes of this. 63. And they had to win in double overtime. And that game was, I mean, in other words, that game was, they still won. Who cares? You know, that was bypassed. That game with Georgia Tech, they bypassed that thing. They won. It was good enough.
Like they played well for four quarters and pulled it out in the eighth overtime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least this year we'll be able to determine it on the field.
Yeah. Look, do I think Georgia should be in? Yes. Would I pick Alabama over Miami based on what I've watched this year? Yes. Miami's defense is not good enough.